Joshua, an overview of the book of Joshua. The theme is conquering Canaan. Joshua was written in the 14th century before Christ. The book of Joshua is a continuation of the history of the Pentateuch. It's the sixth book in 66 book canon of God's Word, and it records Israel's crossing the Jordan River into Canaan after the death of Moses, as well as the conquest and settlement of Canaan by the 12 tribes of Israel under Joshua's leadership. The biblical date for Israel's invasion of Canaan is about 1405 BC before Christ. The book covers the next 25 to 30 years in Israel's history, telling how God, quote, gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers in chapter 21, verse 43. Appropriately, the book of Joshua is named after its principal character, who predominates as God's leader throughout the book. Joshua's personal history prepared him well as leader for the conquest. Living near the end of Israel's oppression in Egypt, Joshua witnessed God's 10 plague judgments. He witnessed the first Passover, amen, the miraculous Red Sea crossing, and the supernatural signs and judgments during Israel's wilderness journeys. Joshua served Moses as a military leader in the battle against the Amalekites soon after leaving Egypt in Exodus 17. And he alone accompanied Moses up Mount Sinai when God gave Israel the Ten Commandments in Exodus 24. As Moses' assistant, Joshua demonstrated an intense devotion and heart for God by often tarrying long in the presence of the Lord, as is seen in Exodus 33:11. He was a man who treasured God's holy presence. Joshua must have learned much from Moses, his trusted counselor and guide, about the ways of God and the difficulties of leading the people of God. At Kadesh Barnea, Joshua served Moses as one of the 12 spies that scouted the land of Canaan along with Caleb. Joshua vigorously resisted the majority report of unbelief there in Numbers chapter 14. Many years before replacing Moses as Israel's leader, Joshua demonstrated himself to be a man of faith, vision, courage, loyalty, resolute obedience, prayer, and dedication to God by his word and through his word. By the time he was chosen to replace Moses, Joshua was a man in whom is the Spirit of God, the Bible says in Numbers 27:18. And the authorship of this sixth book of the Bible is accredited to Joshua by Jewish tradition. The act of writing is mentioned twice in the book in connection with Joshua, verse 18, chapter 18, verse 9, and also 24:26. All right, concerning the purpose of this book of Joshua, Joshua was written as a record of God's faithfulness in fulfilling his covenant promises to Israel concerning the land of Canaan. And the conquest victories are presented as God's act of redemption for Israel and his acts of judgment upon a decadent Canaanite culture. Violence in the book must be viewed from this perspective. Archaeology confirms that gross immorality and cruelty characterized the Canaanite people whom Israel replaced in the land. Joshua begins where Deuteronomy ends. Israel was still encamped on the plains of Moab, directly east of Jericho and the Jordan River. The book divides into three sections. Number one, section one, if you will, chapter 1-5, describes Joshua's commissioning of God by God as Moses' successor and Israel's preparation for entering the land, they're crossing the Jordan in chapter 3 through 4, and their first covenant activities in the land in chapter 5. God promised Joshua, quote, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, I have given you, in chapter 1, verse 3. And it also bears reading Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, saints, and perhaps verse 9, where this is a memory verse I would encourage and exhort you to write on an index card, of course, from the King James Bible. Joshua 1, 8, this book of the law, and that goes for the whole of the written word of God, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And there are many things to point out here, but I want to bring this to your attention. That notice that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So God wants us to study the fullness and the whole counsel of his word. That's why I highly suggest that if you haven't done it already, that you read all the way through the Bible. We will miss so much if we don't read all the way through the Bible. We will gain the knowledge of so many divine truths and nuggets as we read all the way through God's beautiful word. Amen. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole complete disciple of Christ and a whole church. Amen. Getting grounded in God's word requires the daily diligent study of it. It should be the first thing we do in our first waking moments as we seek God in prayer and praise and in study of his word. You are going nowhere, beloved, in God without the knowledge and application of his word, other than you are backslidden if you are not devouring and seeking his face in his word daily. God's word cannot and will not get into us until we get into it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Okay, in chapters 6 through 13 in the book of Joshua, we see how Israel marched in obedience against well-armed cities and states, city-states with fortified walls. God gave his people decisive victories in central and southern and northern Canaan, whereby Israel gained control of the hill country. And the Negev, the highly unusual manner in which Jericho was conquered, clearly demonstrated to Israel who the captain of their salvation was in chapter 6. Israel's defeat at Ai reveals the book's honesty and the serious obedience that God required of Israel. And you might recall that was the sin of Achan in chapter 6 and 7, where he kept to himself idols. And God cited them in chapter 6, verse 18. He says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. Then he says in verse 19, Joshua 6, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And then the children of Israel committed a trespass, chapter 7, verse 1, in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. God doesn't want us in the promised land of the kingdom of Christ, beloved saints, to partake of the sins and sinfulness of the world. And that's one of the things we see here. And we're directly commanded in the New Testament to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and to perfect holiness in the fear of God. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. So Joshua as many times we do, we get religious and we go pray, and God said, get up, stop praying, you've sinned against me, and I want you to repent and make restitution, and then I'll clear you. He says in verse 13, chapter 7, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. And this is the call of true under-shepherds of the new covenant, of which we have very few, saints, that are calling for God's people to repent, to turn from their wicked ways, and to pray and humble themselves, and then God will heal not only the land of our hearts, but also the land of our country wherein we dwell. Okay, and also chapters 13 through 22 of the book of Joshua records the distribution of a land by Joshua to the 12 tribes of Israel. Some of the special features, there are seven of them in Joshua, are, number one, it is the first of the Old Testament historical books to describe Israel's history as a nation in Palestine. And speaking of the historical books, this is a section of scripture that spans between Joshua and Esther, which is positioned right up against Job, which is the beginning of the poetic books, in the canon of scripture. Okay, the second special feature of the book of Joshua is that it provides considerable insight into the remarkable life of Joshua as God's choice for completing Moses' work. His task was to establish Israel as the covenant people in the land of promise. The third special feature of the seven in Joshua is that the book records numerous divine miracles on Israel's behalf, the two most dramatic being the fall of Jericho in Joshua 6. Isn't that an amazing account? And the prolongation of the daylight hours, at the Battle of Gibeon in chapter 10. The fourth special feature of Joshua is that it is the foremost Old Testament book describing the concept of holy war as a specific and limited mission prescribed by God himself within a larger context of salvation history. The fifth special feature of the book of Joshua, the book emphasizes three grand truths about God's relationship to his people: A, his faithfulness, B, his holiness, and C, his salvation. And the sixth special feature we observe in Joshua is the book highlights the importance of keeping alive the heritage of God's saving acts on behalf of his people, and of perpetuating that heritage from one generation to the next. And the seventh and final special feature of Joshua, the book's lengthy account of Achan's transgression and subsequent punishment in chapter 7, along with other admonishments, warnings, and punishments, emphasizes the importance of the fear of the Lord in the hearts of God's people. Amen. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 14:27 that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. I highly recommend that you memorize that. And again, that is Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Amen. God knows we need a whole lot more preaching on the holy fear of God. Okay, and finally, the New Testament fulfillment of the book of Joshua. Joshua's name, Yahushua or Yeshua, is the Hebrew equivalent of the name of Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. In the New Testament, though, the Hebrew equivalent to Yeshua or Joshua is Jesus. In his role of leading Israel into the promised land, Joshua is an Old Testament type or foreshadowing and prefigurement of Jesus, whose role is to bring many sons to glory. Amen. Hebrews 2:10, etc. So Joshua led the people into the promised land, and Jesus, and that was a picture of how Jesus is leading and has led those whom he saved into the promised land of God's kingdom and ultimately into eternal glory. But there are many quagmires and temptations and pitfalls that befall us here, and we must overcome through much tribulation. We must enter into the kingdom of God, Acts 14:22. Sadly, that's left out of so much evangelical theology. They act like salvation is pretty much just a one-time experience, but it's a lifelong abiding in Christ to the end. If you don't abide in Christ, you will be cast into the fire, and that means hell, John chapter 15, verse 6. Okay, now back to the New Testament fulfillment of Joshua. As the first Joshua wielded the sword of God's terrible judgment and conquest, so the second Joshua, Jesus, will wield it in conquest over the nations at the end of history. And we see that in Revelation 19, verse 11 through 16. Okay, and as we close here, I want to read Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through 16, which says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, the world, and serve ye the Lord." So God tells us through this passage, as New Testament believers, to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth, in the holy fear of the Lord, and to put away the sins that so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set for us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. All right, verse 15 here in this passage in Joshua 24, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Notice, choose you this day. That clearly tells us, as does the whole of the Bible, that man has free will. He can choose, and he will choose. Love is never forced. So choose you this day whom you will fear, whether the gods which your father served and that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And finally, verse 16, "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods." Thank you for listening, saints, and I invite you to avail yourself to the scripture-rich resources on safeguardyoursoul.com. And please visit the Because You Care page to see a little bit of the ministry of Christ going on through his body. God bless you.